I've been looking at this study, and I left off, I did this in the summertime. I never finished it off. I hate doing things that ain't finished. I'm a planner by trade, so planners like to lay down a plan and implement it. And if you know my little teaching, application teaching. I like application. It's, without a doubt, doctrine is great. We got the word. But you know what, though? There's always an application to things. I'm good at having a lot of teaching and doctrine and knowledge, you know, apply, understanding the Bible use for the Word of God. Amen. So this is an application. And I remember last summer, I went to a fair in Kane County Fair. They had the booths there, and so I just stacked up my pack with tracks, and I'd go out and just give tracks out and talk to folks. And I ran into, believe it or not, this shows you how things are changing. I remember I ran into the Catholics, the evangelical Catholics. You remember that? So I ran into these evangelical Catholics. In fact, their name of their story is called StreetEvangelism.com. Now, it's very important. Watch where they're going. And I covered it a little bit last time. I'm going to recap and cover more today. You know, I saw that they're Catholic, so what I always do is I kind of play like I don't know much. I want to ask them, see what they believe, so I can write that down, so I can say, well, what's what you said, you know? Anyways, I was there for 45 minutes talking to them, and they obviously knew that I believed the Bible was the perfect word of God, salvation was faith alone. They have tracts on these. They have little, it's like we give out tracts. As a matter of fact, if you go in the little room right here, I'll show you in a little bit here, they have actual tracts on everything that we all believe against it. Now, what's interesting about this is hopefully you have discernment. A discernment is if you read something or hear something from a sermon, you go, you can just tell it don't sound right. Amen? You understand what I'm talking about, right? Oh, I could tell a few minutes, that's Calvinism. Oh, that's something. You should be able to know that. I hope that's what you want to be. We can, you know, right away, that don't sound right. Obviously, things are so obvious. They're starting out with a rock concert. That's not going to go well, whatever, you know. But you know, a lot of times, the devil will give you some information, and it'll be a half-truth or some truth, and then they get you with some lies. So you need to really keep an eye. And so as time draws nigh, hopefully you all know, hey, some things what people say, and you can give them the word of God and the truth. So last time, I'm not covering, I don't want to do a big recap, but last time I covered salvation by faith alone. All right, went through this year. I'm going to remember this thing, okay? I'm not going to go through it again. Pull up the old message. But they completely don't believe in salvation by faith alone. It's by works. And what's interesting about them, almost every verse they give to refute that, first of all, interesting is the Douay Rheims version, they kind of put that to the side. Everything now they're using is Revised Standard Version. It's not the Word of God, but they're getting a little bit more closer to, you know, to the Bible believers, or quote fundamentalists. I mean, so they're trying to compromise a little bit. They don't even mention the Douay Rheims version. They're trying to get, you know, a little bit in our camp a little bit. That deception. So they're using the Revised Standard Version, of course. But in a recap, without going to my time today, is almost everything they use, they're pulling verses out of context and not rightly dividing it. Matthew, Hebrews, James, verses not written to us, obviously. And obviously, if you're just a regular person, understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, you could probably get sucked in pretty good. But us, our Bible believers know how to rightly divide things, obviously go, and they always throw that James in front of you, that book of James, you know, work without faith, you know. So the average person know that. They can easily go, wow, maybe you're right. But that's what their entire track is about. And they completely say that, no doubt about it, you need works involved. And the answer is Roman Catholic Church. We have that. I mean, we get that. But they have a track. And I covered last time. I just want to give you a brief recap from it. Now, Before I get into the new track they gave me about the scripture, what's interesting is, I thought you'd find this very interesting, is they have a guy, and he has a website, you know, apologetic for the Catholic Church. Now, I thought I'd find this very interesting, tied in here. Here's a question they write to John. Listen to this here. I was wondering if you have a Catholic reply to the Romans Road. You know what the Romans Road is, right? I want to print some info and hang on doors and put mailbox community. Ding, 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 ding. How about that? When we have a small parish in western Pennsylvania and it's need of influx of members, something like the Roman Catholic Road. In my personal opinion, the Protestant version, you know, they call us, you know, Protestants. Now, you know, you don't understand, Protestant was against the Pope. If you're a Bible believer, I'm not really a Protestant. I'm against the Pope, but you understand church history about that. The Protestant version of the Roman Road falls short of the desired goal. What is the desired goal? I know, it's a big statement, you know. I mean, you know, when I talk to people, I ask a lot of good questions. By asking good questions, you find out what they think, right? Even in school, I ask a lot of questions. You know why? Because I want to hear what they have to say. So what is the desired goal? Well, you know, get them to get their parish full. No, they're called parish. We have a song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying. You know, it's amazing how they call it a parish. That devil does it purposely. You're going to perish. Okay, anyways, well, watch his answer here. The Romans Road. Now, by the way, this is their answer. Roman Road is not a physical road, but a series of Bible verses from the book of Romans laying out God's plan of salvation. When arranged in order, these verses form an easy, systematic way of explaining the biblical message of salvation of Jesus Christ. Hey, we agree with that. Now, what's interesting is this next page, they listed out here, we would agree with all this. Now, they're using, obviously, Revised Standard Version, but they laid out what the Roman Road is. I'll just recap it for time's sake. It says, five questions asked by the Romans Road. It's answering this. One, who needs salvation? Two, why do we need salvation? Three, how does God provide salvation? Four, how do we receive salvation? And five, what are the results of salvation? And when they go through the answers, it's what we all believe. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, 5:8, how do you say it? Romans 10:9. You literally can print this out. If I would change it to the King James, you know, you could pass it off the track. Okay, but yeah, so they lay it out. And this is the thing about what they're doing here. Because they are in a position, they think they're right. I mean, they can lay out like a share and they go, see, here it is. So now look here. It's interesting here. Now we turn the page. It says, the Roman Catholic Road clearly answers these six questions. So here they lay out the Roman Road that we all have, understand. And there's a lot of ways to show people that. But here's what they say now. Number one, watch it. Truth, truth, half truth, lie, lie. Sitting on that strategy. Who is meant for salvation? Two, why do we need salvation? How does God provide salvation? Kind of similar. When do we receive salvation? Must we abide in Christ for salvation? And what must we do to abide in Christ? They changed it around a little bit. Remember, they're adding some things, you know? So just watch what they do here. This is all important, this application, because when you see what folks are doing, especially, you know, we have this, we know for a fact, by scripture, we're out of here. There's got to be a religious system that sits on the place. Amen? And we know it's going to be. So we went though, by watching the way they're coming across things, it just, man, you know, this is 20 years ago, it's never going to happen. You can just see this coming. It's just exciting for the saint. No, it's buckle up your seatbelts, T minus whatever that number is. Anyways, so watch this interesting here. They're quoting the Revised Standard Version, so we get that here. Salvation, number one, who is meant for salvation? God desires. Salvation is meant for everyone. God created us because he loves us and wants us to spend eternity with him. Now, you know, I've covered this. I don't like the word loves present tense. I think the word is loved. I mean, you get that, whatever, you know. I mean, God showed his love on Calvary, but they like using that word. You know what, though? It's all about the words. You understand, once you change these words, you're going to change direction, you're going to change doctrine, and you're going to change the way you live. You get that, folks. I'm going to say people here. So you understand, you got to get that, okay? 1 Timothy, they quote 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. God, you know, read up to God our Savior, who desired all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Response, realize that God loves, they say, and wants you always to be with him. Now, what's interesting about 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, they leave out verse 5. There's one mediator between God and man. Of course, you know, I mean, of course, that's, you know, they, of course, leave that one out, of course, because they can't add that in there, because then that would kind of blow some doctrine that they would have. But they leave that one out, so it's Jesus, not Mary. So they at least try to, hey, God loves, it's really everyone, everyone gets saved. I mean, they're kind of, you know, hey, I wouldn't like those words, but they're kind of laying down the Roman road too. Why do we need salvation? Well, the wages of sin. We were born in the flesh, but because of the effects of original sin, they call it original sin. I go along with that a little bit, word. The flesh profit nothing. The consequences of sin is death, physical death, but even more importantly, spiritual death, which is separation from God. They hate using the word hell. You know that? It's a Bible word, you know? I mean, separation of God, we know, is obviously a hell, and ultimately, after like a fire, after a judgment, like a fire. We all get that. But so, that's true. You were dead through the transgressions and sins which God walked, so we were by nature children of wrath, like mankind. So they do make that point that, hey, why do we say we're sinners, you know? Now, step three. Watch this here. Hey, you know what, though? If you're, look, you know, yeah, God loved me. I'm a sinner. Yeah, kind of go along with that. How does God provide salvation? Well, that's a good one. The love of God. There is nothing we can do in any of ourselves to be forgiven. But God loves us, I use the word love, so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of all mankind. Through his death, resurrection, we have been redeemed. And I always like to throw the blood in there. I mean, we're getting away from the blood, amen, you know? So, you know, a lot of times you get a lot of Calvinism, you throw that blood in there. I hate that blood, you know? Anyway, so here's the verse they give you. 1 John 4:10, this is the love of God, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the expiation. You remember, I'm reading Revised Standard. It should be the propitiation. Propitiation is a better word because it's an act of appeasing wrath. But I mean, you understand the point here. And they even quote Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy and of great love, which he loved us even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive through Christ. I'm reading their verse, you know. Believe that you have salvation by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. You know, if you kind of look at that, those three, we could kind of, you know, agree. Hey, we need salvation. Now we get to where you start twisting here. How do we receive salvation? Well, they said it's, we're all sinners, we're under the wrath of God, and God wants us saved through grace. Now here's where the twist comes in. How do we receive salvation? The free gift. Through baptism, we are saved. See here? Through baptism, we are born again of a spirit, receive forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit, and become members of the body of Christ. Through baptism, we receive the free gift unto salvation. Now, so here we go. You know, they're saying, you know, and their baptism is not, it's water baptism. And it says here, Titus 3 and 4, but when the goodness and loving, it's not even hard to read a new, whatever, in King James, and loving kindness, our God, our Savior, appeared and saved us, not because our deeds were done by righteous, but we, in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing, regeneration, it's really up, but he's in the Holy Ghost. He poured out, now, they're assuming that washing is baptism, obviously. I'll come in a minute here. But we know that there's no water at verse. That, I mean, you all get that. I mean, they just completely add water to all these things without a doubt. So, and they leave out, not by works of righteousness, but according to mercy saved us, of course. That's just left out of there at verse here. Now, they quote John 3:3-5. Truly, truly, no, it's verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born anew, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, they say, unless a man is born of water. See here? Now, obviously, there's your bad teaching, that's the first birth. Amen? We know that's the birth of the mother, you know. They consider that water baptism. And then, of course, here we go. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now will save you. And what do they quote? Acts 2:38. That's the verse. We all know, right? Acts 2:38. You know, I've heard the story. There was a Pentecostal lady, and one night she gets here, some racket in the house, and you know what? A burglar's breaking in. And she went to do, she just quoted scripture. All of a sudden, the burglar went on the ground and goes, please, please, I give up. And, you know, that was strange, and the police came over, and he goes, the burglar came in and just froze like that. Well, I quoted scripture. And he goes, what did she say? He goes, well, she told me she had two, he told me she had an axe and 2:38s. Get it? Acts 38, you know? So she laid down. But I'm going to give you, that's their verse, 2:38. Probably more people will be deceived and go to hell from Acts 2:38. You understand that? We understand that thing. And so here's how they're quoting, this is how you're saved. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, forgives the sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm quoting Rise Standards, not the Holy Ghost, you know. So there you go, right there. You see it, you know? They're just, you know, we agree with your sinner, and we know it's by grace of God. How do you get it? It's by water baptism. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's how that salvation is done, okay? So here you go. They got people, I get baptized. Now, watch the next part of this year. What must we abide in Christ for salvation? It's called the process of salvation. Once we have received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and baptism, amen, is that it? Are we guaranteed to spend eternity in heaven? No, we are not. Salvation is not a one-and-done event. It is a process. Now, it's interesting right here. That's how close it is. We understand that, hey, salvation is a point in time, just the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's the process is sanctification, right? Separation, motive. That's all part of the process. I mean, you're think about it. You're born in a moment of time with your mom, right? You probably remember it, right? And then you were born. But life is a process. You had mother's milk in the very beginning, then baby food, and then, you know, now you're eating real food. God likened it very easily to understand it, right, folks? But you can see how the mother of harlots here is changing around and how they're kind of coming in, because they're going to be the folks here that are going to be running things once we're out of here, you know? So you can see how they're changing themselves. See how close we're getting here, you know? It's a process. Paul talks of having been saved, being saved, and he will be saved. Past, present, future process. Scriptures tells us that we must abide or remain in Christ so that our salvation may be realized. The word clearly says, abide is clearly telling you it's a process. Well, we understand that's for us, that means fellowship. You understand that? I mean, so having fellowship is different than being saved. You can be a saved person and not be out of fellowship with the Lord. You know, if you have children, you got a wayward son or daughter, you went, oh, they're your son by blood, amen? But the fellowship is the problem, amen? You know, so you understand that's just Bible, and that helps us grow. But here it is, the mother of harlots, you know, this is their doctrine now. Hey, you know, they're real close some truth, but then they sneak in there like a little thing here, you know. Response, stay close of God and avoid sin. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered through the fire and burn. That's quoting in John there, obviously. But remember, they're talking before Calvary. So the Roman Catholic system tells you that in the age of grace, their Jesus, what I call it, an Indian giver Jesus. You get that, right? You know, so their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible for our age. They're Indian giver Jesus. Amen, you know? So what happens is you can't really enjoy. I hope you're enjoying salvation, amen? Man, it's nice to enjoy it. I mean, I'll tell you something. I mean, I'm fortunate to enjoy a lot of things in life, but no matter what happens, enjoying this relationship is a great thing. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the most precious thing you have. I mean, there's nothing more precious. And that's why, you know, some people, they have much material things. There's joy because that's, you know what though? That's all they got. Some countries, that's all they have, is it? And when you have, that's all you have, you realize that's all you need. Sometimes Americans can't realize that, you know? You get that, folks, you know? So they miss that whole thing. Now, here, another step they have. What must I do to abide in Christ? Faith working through love. That's the same back to that brochure I read you about, Saved by Grace Alone. It's always adding something to it. They're always, you know, they tie things together using scripture. What all is involved in the process of salvation? And salvation can be a process to get to the point where your conviction, and then the Lord deals with you, but it's instantly done. There's other times, if you got saved, you've heard the word of God, you got conviction in your life for a period of time, and the Lord goes, how about that? And you get saved. Once it's done, that, now sanctification is a process. They kind of twist those things around. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, they're taking fellowship and compared to salvation. All who keep his commandments abide in him, and we in them. John 6:66, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Well, there you go. There's that mass. See how they're kind of, you know, oh, how do you abide in? Keep the suckers coming to the church, do the mass, right? Oh, see, you're having your mass, and they think that little cookie is the actual body and blood of Christ. See, that's all time, and we know it's going to get worse. You know, when we're out of here, oh, the Roman pompous and the Antichrist and the false, they're all tying together things together, and they're going to, you know, it's going to be my, I'm giving my revision. Receiving the mass will be kind of like, in a way, people are receiving the mark. See how they're conditioning you? We were conditioned trying to get the jab here. The cat's got to, you got to have the mass, you have the mark. It's just, you know, just all just kind of tying together. It's just something that you do. So it's a spiritual thing. And a lot of times you can spiritualize the Bible. Sometimes I would take it literally most of the time. This is one place that you take it spiritualized. Here in Romans chapter 6, it says, like as your fathers did, you know, in the Old Testament. It's not the Roman Catholic Mass. For if you forgive men for their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you not forgive men for their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Well, obviously, they're taking verses that during the millennial reign and kingdom age, and they're trying to put it into the process here. Almost everything they quote, Matthew, 1 John, Hebrews, you can see that they have to pull verses that ain't written to us to get their quote dogma. Here, sum it up. For in Jesus Christ, either circumcision or uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith worketh through love. Faith and works are by the grace of God, keeps us abiding in truth. So it's a half truth. So, you know, obviously, the love of the Lord was revealed on Calvary, but we got to abide in it to keep that thing. Well, then, if we have to do something, it can't be of grace, can it? You see, I mean, it's really illogical. You see what I'm saying? So here's a summary of the question here. I'll close this here because I haven't got time for my part two. The real part is just a preload. We are given the free gift of salvation through baptism. See that there? You know, their baptism, the water. We did nothing to earn it. Well, you might be technical. If you get baptized, that's an event. You know, Pastor Hoffman, he says a lot of stuff, talks fast, not as fast as me. And I have to listen to him again. He has a lot of good stuff. One thing that I like that I've used a ton of times, he said this before. If you're talking to somebody, and if they're a religious group, persuasion, or cult, whatever it is, you ask this question. That's a great question. I've done it dozens of times. I said, let's say a car accident has happened, and the guy you go run over there, he has 10 minutes to live. What would you tell him? Right? See, now you got 10 minutes time. I mean, now what would you tell him? Ask that question to a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. What are you, Catholic, going to do, baptize somebody? I mean, think about that. I mean, so in other words, I mean, that's a great question. Now you got 10 minutes. The guy has 10 minutes to live. What would you tell him? You see that? That just gets them. See, what we're trying to do is get people thinking. And in our last time, you want them thinking by the scripture, and then let the Holy Spirit work on that. How about that? How about that? How about that? Many times, hey, how about the Holy Spirit's the one that moves, right? Hey, you know, you're just a vesicle. That's all. Give them truth from the Word of God. And how about that? How about that? And then, wait a minute. How about that? And then the Lord can use that. Remember, we're just vessels. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that do the work. Anyways, we did nothing to earn it. But even though we did nothing to earn it, we can indeed do something to lose it. Sin. Maybe that's all wrong. Sin separates us from God, just as the prodigal son lost his inheritance that he had been given by his father through sinful living, just so after we have been given our inheritance, our salvation. Well, inheritance is not salvation. You understand that? You get that it's completely different. Salvation is a free gift done. Inheritance, something that is earned by what we do. So they combine, I mean, it's small, but it's huge. Obviously, if you look at in 1 Corinthians and in Ephesians, and Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, it says, don't do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's talking to believers already saved. If they can lose an inheritance or get inheritance by living right. But they consider that part of salvation. Freely by the grace of God, through baptism, we can lose it through sin. Our faith and our works. Our faith working through love. That's that sheet I gave you last time. It's faith through love. All done by the grace of God. Help us avoid sin and become holy. And as Hebrews tells us, remember, they're always close verse. Strive, it's hard to even read without King James. Strive to peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see you. Well, if you read Hebrews, that verse, let me close this here. Let me read this here to show you how pulling out the verses from their context completely, literally give you a complete different meaning. So you go to Hebrews chapter 12, and they quote number 14. They say, I'll give you the King James. Foul peace, which all men, and holiness without, which no man can see to God. So they say, well, if you're not holy, which is a process, you can't be saved. Well, the context here, if you read it, is this Hebrews. I think this part is in the tribulation, right? And look at verse 11. And it says, wherefore lift, it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest he which is lame to hear it. Foul after peace, all men and holiness without, Lord, no man can see God. Semicolon, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and whereby many be defiled. Now here's an example, semicolon. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. What example I give you, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. So here you go, look here, think about this. We know the story of Esau. He was hungry and gave him his birthright. You know what happens, tribulation? You're hungry, temptation, that mark there, right? I mean, take that thing, see how pulling a verse out of who it's written to, you build your own doctrine. That's the application. And by understanding that, believers, when we hear those things, hey, let me just, you tell them what it is, and maybe a lot, maybe meaty for them, but that's where the Holy Spirit goes, hey, how about that? How about that? You all, when you're saved, what happens? You heard something, and maybe you didn't quite understand it at first, but as you read and grew, now it made sense to you. I mean, something you can't give a baby a lot of meat. They're going to spit it out. They're going to hear it, but have no clue. But as you grow by reading the Word, you mature, and now you take things that were kind of hard to understand and became practical. You understand that? Same thing right here with what they do here from Rome. They're trying to get the folks over their side, which is happening. You see, they're changing their belief and doctrine to kind of get a little like us. Get that? All right. Questions? Yes, sir, Paul. Sorry for the time. I didn't. Go ahead.
Coming out of the Catholic Church, I tell you, there is no joy in the Catholic Church. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Secondly, I've heard too many times my loved ones that have been departed and went to hell, and the priest tell me that they were saved by born again.
Oh, yeah.
And going along with your whole thing there, I picked up Bible. And my whole thought on this is, well, we don't have an authority, a final authority. Who's going to be the final authority? Who's going to step in, okay, and take over?
And that's my part two next week, is what they say about final authority. And you can see it coming together as clear as can be. So without a final authority, when the man of sin shows up, guess what about authority? They will. They're just crying. That's why they're trying to attack the word. And the churches, the believer churches here, don't get that. So you can just see it. You can see it getting more clearer and clearer and clearer. Okay. Sorry for going longer, folks. Well, Father in heaven, thank you very much for just seeing these things, Lord, how close you are to taking us home. Amen. So we should be excited about that, Lord, and be able to have and this end right, Father. So pray for this little Bible study here that we'd be able to hide in our hearts. Thank you for Pastor Hoffman being here. I see he's here, and pray, Lord, you give him the words you want him to say. And I say we have an open heart and mind to receive your word today, Father, and be changed, however it would be, Father. And we thank you and give you the praise and the honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.